And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. As part of the national observance of United Nations Week, we present Two Boys Called Bob by David Davidson.
A bequest it was, a gift in the spirit of the Talmud. The scholars said, why did the Creator form all life from a single ancestry? So that men may understand their common kinship in the collective human family. This is the story of two boys called Bob. Take the first of these. Robert Stansberry Johnstone, 18, of Bonsville, Pennsylvania, an elm-shaded little town due west of Philadelphia. Robert Stansberry Johnstone, killed in action by Japanese machine gunners outside Manila in the last months of World War II. And the second Bob? We find him in a happier moment, one that is mellow with June, green with academic ivy. At Lafayette College in eastern Pennsylvania a few months ago, a procession of young men in cap and gown wound its way to a platform to receive diplomas, one by one. Their names were called out. Henry Lowry, William Mason, and then...
Robert Nishiyama.
Yes, that other Robert, a slim youth from the Orient.
Robert Nishiyama.
Nishiyama, former suicide pilot in the Imperial Japanese Navy, consecrated once to plunging his plane and himself to destruction in the supreme act of violence. But now, luckily, spared such glories, stepping forward to receive a diploma and be congratulated.
Thank you, President Hutchison. You are very kind.
Or, the way the newspapers put it,
Robert Yukimasa Nishiyama, 27, former kamikaze pilot, was graduated today with honors from Lafayette College after 4 years of study paid for by the $10,000 GI insurance policy of Robert Johnstone, United States combat infantryman killed in action.
Kamikaze pilot, American infantryman. 7 summers ago, they'd have had no course but to kill each other on sight, united now in a spirit of peace, of generosity. A bequest from Robert Johnstone to Robert Nishiyama. How did it happen? Well, consider again the first of these two. Bob Johnstone, late warrior, formerly a small-town American kid. In appearance, sandy-haired, freckled, tall for his age, and lean. The kind to whom you just naturally shout out, Hi, Skinny!
Hi, yourself! Say, ain't this some day?
Talked to his father, Robert M. Johnstone, a large, blue-eyed man with the strong hands of an engineer, and a back almost round with power. Talked to his father about Mrs. Johnstone.
Look at her. A delicate little lady. Yet Alice not only raised 3 lively youngsters, but has worked alongside of me for years as an officer of my engineering company, putting in a good 8 hours every day.
To Alice and Robert Johnstone, living then at Elizabeth, New Jersey, there was born a son on July 7, 1926, over whom, in due course, were spoken the words,
I name thee Robert.
At just about the same moment, a Japanese youngster born Yukimasa Nishiyama was having his first meeting with an American neighbor, half a world away, in Tokyo.
Oh, you cute little angel. Aren't you the boy from next door? What's your name?
Yukimasa.
Yukimasa
Nishiyama.
Well, suppose instead that I call you Bob.
Bob? Bob.
Hello, Bob.
The name stuck to him, the Japanese boy, because his parents liked Americans, the several who were their neighbors, and prided themselves, too, on being moderns. His father was an architect. His grandfather, police president of Tokyo. Moderns. But in their home hung always a portrait of the emperor.
Robert, you forgot something just now.
Did I, Father?
Whenever you come into this room, you must turn first and bow to your emperor.
I meant to, Father. But I was wondering why it is necessary.
Because he is our father, Robert.
You are my father.
And he is the father beyond all fathers. He is the god of our nation.
He? That little man?
Not man, Robert. God. And whatever he wills us to do, we must do. Remember that. Always.
Yes. I will remember. I will not forget again to bow.
Gravely, the boy spoke, in the spirit of worship. But, a moment later, looking out of his window at a boy his own age, American.
Hey, Mickey, how about a game of ball?
For the other Bob, now living in Short Hills, New Jersey, there were also ball games most every day.
Okay, my turn at bat. Let's have a nice straight one now. Uh-oh. Well, I guess I have to quit. My dad's driving me up to Deer Lake.
Bob!
Hey, in a second, Dad. I got them all crated up in the tool shed and ready to go. So long, fellas.
That kid of mine, 30 pet turtles he had, every one with a name, as gentle with them as their own mother. And every year, when the cold set in, he'd mark them on their shells and take them up to Deer Lake and leave them so that they could litter comfortably over the winter. Then the next spring, we'd go back and round them up again.
Well, here, Dad. I just found another one. Satan.
And one over here. Well, the name on his back looks
like...
Oh,
I guess that one is Wilkins.
Now, what kind of a name is that for a turtle, Wilkins?
Oh, I named him after my history teacher. They got the same identical expression. Just look and see.
Well, darned if they don't at that. Well, back into the crate with you, Wilkins.
And that makes 30, Dad. Or we can go now.
Year after year, he'd put them out, my boy, and get every blessed one back. Like they knew what was good for them. Bob was great with pigeons, too, and ducks. Any kind of living creature that you might name.
Bob Johnstone, the future combat infantryman. And 6,700 miles away in Japan, the future suicide pilot was a remarkably similar kind of boy.
Bob! Bob!
Yes, Mrs. Davis?
Look, the baby robin lying under the tree.
It must have fallen out of the nest. Up into my hand. Do not be frightened.
Well, yes, I can see the nest now, way up there. Well, Bob, where do you think you're going?
I'm coming back.
Oh, but that nest is a mile high. Bob, come back. This instant. Oh, Bob.
One Bob and the other. At Short Hills, New Jersey, in the grammar school...
This morning, boys and girls, we will discuss the physical features of the continent of North America. Robert Johnstone.
Oh, I'm listening, Miss Woodworth. Don't worry about me.
Was he listening? The sandy-haired, freckle-faced boy with the dreamy look?
Very well, Robert. The physical features of North America may be grouped broadly into three main divisions.
Behind his book, out
first
of sight of his teacher, his hands were working busily,
kneading
something, shaping it, refining it.
Second, the eastern highlands, consisting of the Greenland Plateau, the Laurentian area, and the Appalachian Mountain. Robert Johnstone, come here.
Yes, Miss Woodworth?
What have you got there in your hands?
Quickly, he mashed it all together.
Oh, just a hunk of modeling clay.
Playing with it constantly, not listening to a word I've said.
Oh, I heard. The physical features of North America...
Yes, Robert.
...may be grouped broadly into three main divisions.
First, there are the western highlands extending from Alaska to the southern tip of the continent.
Well.
Second, the eastern highlands consisting of the Greenland Plateau, the Laurentian area, and the Appalachian Mountains. Right, Miss Woodworth?
How one boy can have his mind in two places at the same time. Yes, right.
One day, though, she caught him before he could destroy what he was modeling and took it to Mrs. Johnstone, who remembers it today.
Heavens, it was a medieval war horse. All tapestried, too. And sitting on it was a knight in armor who was removable and who even had his visor tilted up so you could see his face. Perfectly beautiful. And if Bob wasn't modeling clay, he was drawing pictures, trees and ships and castles all day long.
That other Bob in Tokyo was the same kind of problem, sitting in his class in elementary English.
I am, you are, he is, Robert Nishiyama.
Yes, sir?
How do you ever expect to learn English if you pay no attention? What is that book you're hiding under your desktop?
Please excuse me, sir.
That book, please. Thank you. The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn in English.
Yes, sir.
Nishiyama, I'm afraid that for this we shall have to promote you at once.
Hey, pass the ball quick! Throw it this way!
That could have been either Bob, both lovers of football, playing hard in identical scrimmages. But half a world apart. Both of them good at punting and at receiving.
Got it!
But for one of the Bobs, the cadence changed suddenly one day from running on the turf to marching on a parade ground.
By the right flank! What?
Right and left.
By the left
and right. Now it was Cadet Nishiyama. His natural smile obliterated by a military mask. Feet marching. Marching for the Emperor. For the other Bob, now living in Bonsville, Pennsylvania, there was still a breathing spell, as his father tells it.
With all that boy was doing, I don't know where he ever found time for study. But Bob was always at the top. Finished high school half a year ahead of schedule. And applied to Lafayette to study engineering. In one semester, he did his whole freshman year and won himself a tuition scholarship besides.
He was grown by now to 6 feet and 1 inch, weighing 150 pounds. Athlete, sculptor, naturalist, scholar, and a thinker, too. That above everything.
You got a moment, Dad?
Sure, son. How much?
Oh, no. I'd like to talk.
Oh, well, what's on your mind?
Well, it's this war that's broken out all over the world. What a pity it couldn't have been prevented.
I guess every decent human being feels that way.
The war is so wasteful, Dad. You have a war, everybody does everybody else a lot of damage, you wind up in the end with a peace conference. Why couldn't you just have the peace conference in the first place? Without the war.
Son, it just never seems to work out that way.
Well, it seems to me that if the people of the different nations could only find a freer way of reaching each other and knowing each other, could have a better understanding of each other, then maybe someday we could manage without war.
Fine, son, but how are you going to bring that about?
Well, I don't know yet. But someday, when this war is over, we might be able to do something to help bring people together. Something.
Half a world away in Tokyo, the other Bob was being rushed through his college course in 2.5 years, clad still in his cadet's uniform. Being marched not only on the parade grounds, but in his classroom as well.
In the philosophy course, for instance, they emphasize the special Japanese system called Kodo, the way of the emperor, meaning discipline, expansion, imperialism. Economics meant what they like to call the Greater East Asia Co-Prosperity Sphere. In other words, conquest. From Pearl Harbor on, I was deeply unhappy. I had so many American friends. I could not see any future in a war with America. But the turn of events was such that you were swept along. In 1944...
Company! Halt!
Gentlemen, having now completed your college studies, you will each indicate as soon as possible your choice of assignment in the armed forces of His Imperial Majesty.
Banzai!
Banzai!
Company! Dismiss!
For me, it meant assignment to the Navy Flying School. We went to war, many of my friends and I, hating it. But after all, we were young people, and war had to be fought by young people.
If the people of the different nations could only find a freer way of reaching each other and knowing each other.
Bob Johnstone. Almost as if he were trying to call across the battle lines to the other Bob, 6,000 miles away. But through the battle lines, there was no communication. In May 1944, while Bob Nishiyama was becoming a Navy pilot, Bob Johnstone came to a decision of his own.
Dad, I can't stand this waiting for induction anymore. I'm asking them to call me at once.
But, son...
The sooner we can get it over, Dad, the sooner we'll have peace, and the sooner we can... Well, start doing something.
Well, son, the Army needs engineers. I'm sure if you asked for it, you'd be sent back to college to finish your course.
No, Dad, I'm asking for the infantry.
But, son...
We're at war. If the others have to take it, I don't see why I should be let off.
After all, we were young people. And war in Japan and every other nation had to be fought by young people.
Ensign Nishiyama...
Aye, aye, sir.
I have just received a new directive. As of today, all personnel capable of flying are automatically classified as kamikaze pilots.
Kamikaze?
Yes. Suicide pilots. Consecrated to giving their lives to their emperor.
The emperor?
Report at once to the naval base at Mie for specialized training. That is all.
Aye, aye, sir.
In February 1945, Bob Johnstone had his last home leave.
And, from here, son?
Well, it looks like the Pacific, Dad.
Take good care of yourself, will you?
I'll certainly try, Dad, because there's nothing I want more than to be back for the peace.
Peace.
I want to have my part in that. Any way I can.
I'm sure you will, Bob.
Now, out there in the Pacific, what'll I be seeing in front of me? The enemy. But there must be more to people than that. To most of them, anyhow. And what I want is to get to the people inside.
In April 1945, Bob Johnstone was going into the Philippines at Leyte with the 173rd Regiment, the Green Mountain Boys. 30 days of fighting, day and night. 3 days of rest, then forward again. Up to Ipoh Dam, the water reservoir for Manila, ringed heavily with machine guns. Fire that grew heavier and heavier. Till on the night of May 14, 1945, not in any glorious storybook charge, but in the dark and loneliness, a little squad found themselves pushed back by superior forces, and then suddenly hemmed in.
Hey, now they're coming up in back of us. Come on, everybody, down to the river. Now they cut us off.
No.
To the home of the Johnstones in Bonsville came that certain black message. The Secretary of War regrets to inform you. Then a second message came.
Mother, this letter...
Yes, Robert.
Says that under the terms of Bob's GI insurance, we have $10,000 coming to us.
Oh, Robert.
Can be paid in one lump sum or monthly installments. Personally, Alice, I guess I'm a coward.
You, Robert?
I mean, I... I just can't bear to touch a penny of it.
We'll just refuse it, Robert.
Maybe that, Alice, or maybe find some way of giving it to somebody.
Give it? To whom?
Well, I don't exactly know, but we'll do it in some way that would carry out Bob's thoughts. It would give meaning to what happened to him.
Bob Nishiyama had been luckier. Well before he was considered ready to commit suicide for his emperor, the war was suddenly over. Working now at an American officers' club in Tokyo, he chanced across an announcement one day in the Stars and Stripes.
The Robert Johnstone Memorial Scholarship for 4 years of study at Lafayette College. Open to any qualified Oriental, preferably a Japanese national. Captain Osborne.
Yes, Nishiyama?
There is an announcement here about a scholarship for...
Yes, I noticed, Bob. Thinking of applying?
How do I go about it, sir?
Well, sit yourself down and get off a letter to the president of Lafayette College.
Write to the president of a college?
Why not?
In Japan, the president of a college? You never even see him. In the fall of 1948, I was flying over San Francisco Bay. I was filled with a strange excitement. I had heard so much about the United States, but it had been like standing before a screen door, able to see something, but not quite sure what. San Francisco, the Golden Gate, the Seven Hills. The scene was strange, yet somehow so familiar.
A day later, in the office of President Hutchinson at Lafayette College, the former suicide pilot met with an astounding reception. Reporters, photographers, newsreel men by the dozen. Finally, when things had quieted down, but let Bob and Mr. Johnstone tell it in their own way.
I'd been standing off in a corner all the while and watching him. The boy was so calm and unassuming. He shook hands with all and kept smiling. I couldn't help being impressed by the way he hid his weariness. Finally, I went over to him.
It was the surprise of my life when Mr. Johnstone came up to me. I'd never expected him. To think he'd come all the way to Lafayette to greet me.
Hello, Bob.
Mr. Johnstone, I don't know how to thank you.
Oh, forget that, Bob.
But Mr. Johnstone...
All I ask, try to see my country exactly as it is. The bad along with the good. And when you go home again, try to take back the good with you.
Yes, Mr. Johnstone. I will do that. I give you my word.
Those next 4 years at Lafayette were magical ones for Robert Nishiyama. Washington made it possible for his American-educated wife, Helen, and his young daughter to come over from Japan and join him. At Lafayette, a second child was born to him, a son, who was named, naturally, Robert, for that other Bob, whose photo will hang always in any home of the Nishiyamas.
A fine boy, Bob Nishiyama. It worked out perfectly, that scholarship. He's gone home now to become a teacher himself in Japan and spread what he's learned here in America. Next, we're going to see what we can do now to bring over another student from the East. Because it's through boys like that we can keep the ideas of my own son continuously alive. We can feel now that Bob died for some reason.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Aaron H. Blumenthal of Congregation Emmanuel, Mount Vernon, New York. Rabbi Blumenthal.
Wherever men meet,
either in the serious study of society or in the pleasant pursuit of relaxation, they find themselves in the shadow of fear, the fear of another worldwide war. Individual men and women do not declare war. Only nations possess that power. And the only agency which can curb war-making is the United Nations. In a very real sense, therefore, the destiny of every man, woman, and child on earth is bound up with the destiny of the United Nations. We in the United States of America have a special responsibility to the United Nations. God has endowed us with the material and spiritual resources that have catapulted us into a position of leadership among the nations. Whether we will it or not, and there are some who rebel against the responsibility, God has placed this nation and this generation in the position where the fate of the United Nations rests squarely upon our leadership. And the quality of American leadership depends upon the quality of the people of America. It was from religion that man first drew the dream of a world without war. The churches and synagogues of America will commemorate United Nations Week with deep reverence. They have contributed not only the original dream, but much of the faith and the perseverance which culminated in the establishment of the United Nations. All this is part of the history of religion. But a new page cries out to be written into the record. A page of American reaffirmation of faith when others faltered, of American rededication to purpose when others vacillated. The inspiration for this new page must come from the churches and the synagogues. It is here that men have striven to see God more clearly and to do His will. This page, once written by our generation, will lead into the triumphant conclusion, the reign of peace and righteousness on earth.
Thank you, Rabbi Blumenthal. Our eternal light drama today, Two Boys Called Bob, was written by David Davidson and presented as part of the national observance of United Nations Week. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were William Redfield as Robert Johnstone, Leon Janney as Robert Nishiyama, and Norman Rose as the narrator. The music was written by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Milton Kadens. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.